Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
You know how fast you are going?
What?
How fast you are going?
65.
63.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
You got to understand that I don't come up with this stuff. I just forward it along. You wouldn't arrest a guy who's just delivering drugs from one guy to another.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Oh yeah, you can milk anything with nipples.
I have nipples, Greg. Could you milk me?
The Fan. First things first,
rest in peace, sucker. Hey, let's do this final hour. Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube, as we are every day. Hello. Good to see you guys.
What's up, boys? This is what I gotta say today.
By the way, a quick note. We talked about our sports Equinox bet losing.
Yes.
Because the
Utah Hockey Club blew their lead. I also took the Yankees, so that didn't work
well,
out.
Well, I also took the Yankees, too, and trying to play the other side of that coin. New York famously had an awful night on the Equinox. We forgot to add that New York FC lost their playoff game. They became the first city to ever lose in every league that they played in on the Equinox. Greatest city in the world, baby.
We did get a text earlier. Let me see. I got to scroll back and find this. See here.
By the way, if you're just tuning into YouTube, I'm even the Howard Stern of Sports Jesus. Just whatever is less offensive to you.
Dealer's choice, you know, whatever you feel like Sprague is today, that's his identity.
That's what I am, baby.
And that's how he rolls.
Well, see, I think Howard Stern is Radio Jesus.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Yeah.
Definitely.
He transformed the medium back.
Oh, he changed everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where are the porn stars and when do they come in? I'm just waiting for that in the final hour. Yankee fan texted in and said, I'm currently on a plane with tickets for game 5.
I mean,
might not even happen. Kind of hoping I get my money back and just go watch a Broadway show.
What does happen if you buy game 5? They refund you, right?
You get a refund, yeah. If you bought game 5 tickets and they get swept
depends.
Tonight.
I don't know.
You definitely get a refund.
I would think you would get a refund.
You definitely get. There's no game. You definitely get a refund.
But what if they go, your choice for next year?
If you're a season ticket holder and you bought your seats, yeah, then they usually say,
well,
just apply it to your your account.
Right.
For
this
next
is a
season.
Listener from Portland, that the Yankee fan that's flying out to New York.
On,
he bought one ticket. He's going to get a that game's not going to happen.
I think so.
And I mean, think about how expensive that is.
Oh, I know.
You can't. It's if necessary. They definitely refund that ticket.
Look, you don't need me to tell you this because I'm not going to change your thinking on this. I actually legitimately had like an inning where I felt bad for Yankee fan. The Yankees, they won 27. Oh, boo-hoo. Yeah, I know. But you know how much it matters to them? They finally got through the ALCS, and they may not win a game in the World Series.
They're going to fire their manager if they lose.
I don't think they do anything. I just think they keep running it back. Because
what if they lose Juan Soto?
Well,
you know who's going to try and sign Juan Soto this offseason?
The Mets.
The Dodgers.
They can't afford him.
Yeah, they can.
What position is he
going to play? Paying Ohtani $5 a year. In an illegal contract, who cares what position he's going to play?
What if they deferred Soto's contract? Baseball would have to step in, right?
Who's a Dodgers center fielder?
Is it Edmund? He keeps playing multiple positions.
He's
got a couple
guys
that go all over.
Kike plays out there.
Kike's in left right
move
now.
Move Mookie Betts to full-time shortstop and have Juan Soto be your right fielder.
Because Ohtani's DH.
Ohtani's DH. Doesn't have to play. Yeah, that's going to be great if that happens this offseason, huh?
I just
Swaggo still complaining all next year. The bullpen's not good enough.
Watching your team get to the World Series and play like this, it's just like, I just kind of feel bad for every sports fan. It's awful.
Not New York, though. I don't, you know. Although this is one where it's like New York or L.A., so it's too, you know, it's like,
like, ah, yeah. Pick your poison.
Exactly.
As a Giant fan, wouldn't you rather watch the Yankees celebrate?
Oh, I'm rooting for the Yankees in the series, unquestionably. I want New York to win, and they have totally let me down, man.
Aaron Judge was asked, hey, man, what do you do? And he goes, just takes one at bat.
You only got four more left, Aaron, so you might as well do it now, buddy. You're running out of time and rapidly.
Did you see that they had like 28 strike calls on four-seam fastballs that were unswung at?
There was one where somebody got hosed late in the game with a high strike three call where you're like, how are they doing it? Okay, here it comes. And then there was one that was 3 inches above the belt.
That strike zone was a little all over the place last night. Jazz Chisholm almost got thrown out.
Give me the robot umps, dude. They're actually trying right now in the Arizona Fall League. Have you seen the technology they're using for the check swing calls? Have you seen this? These videos?
No, I haven't seen that.
So down in the Arizona Fall League, which started, they have a new technology where there's basically a camera over the top. And so every time there's a check swing and you call it a certain way, you can immediately call for a review as a manager, and they just put it up on the Jumbotron. And so it's a camera right over home plate.
So
it shows you how far the bat goes, and there's a line that it's like green or red. So
there's decided what the plane is.
I think it's the front of the plate or the side of the plate. I can't remember exactly how it works, but it's an immediate replay, and everybody in the crowd's like, yes or no, and they yell.
I'm all
it's
for
like,
robo-umps.
It's a call just like that.
I think what it will... The biggest concern I heard from the Players Association was that it would reshape how catchers were going to be evaluated. The catching position now is basically like a first baseman or a right fielder. It's all about your bat, and as long as you can just catch it, it doesn't matter about framing pitches or anything like that anymore.
Yeah.
That was the biggest concern. But I think it would help hitting. Pitching has gotten so dominant lately. Like, the average in Major League Baseball this year was like 235.
Not good.
Or something. So if hitters know consistently where the strike zone is, then they can hone in on it some more and we'll get some more consistent hitting.
In case the text police come after me, I want to make a correction. I think I said Kike left. I know it's Teoscar Hernandez. He made that throw last night.
Yeah, Kike's been in center. Kike's in center. Kike, Lux, Edmund have all been rotating between second, shortstop, and outfield.
Here's an interesting little thing I just thought about as you mentioned the robot umpires. What umpire is behind home plate the first year we do the robot umpire thing, but they have to be there symbolically and makes a call that differentiates from the robot call?
Well,
so
they
it's
won't
a
because
ball
they'll,
and he's
get,
like,
they'll get balls and strikes. they get it in their ear. And it's
It's so instinctual to watch that ball go over.
Actually punch him out and be like, my bad. That was
well,
a ball.
The ump still has to be there to, like, if it's a foul tip, they're doing that. Catcher's interference obviously plays at the plate. There'll still be an ump there to administer the game. But, yeah, they'll just be taking the ball strike call from the thing in their ear.
I just love that we're in the World Series and we're, like, four games into the NBA season and we're both, like, we got to change the way the game plays. Sucks. It's just like that's every year these two sports cannot win.
That's definitely true. All the hype and excitement going into this World Series has evaporated, and we'll see if it comes to an end tonight.
It's such a downer and a bummer.
Not for Dodger fans. Dodger fans are happy. I mean, I'm going to have one eyeball on this thing maybe tonight. It'll be on my TV, but I'm not sitting around.
I try
canceling plans. Yeah. Like, all right, 5 o'clock, got to sit down and watch the World Series tonight. Win a game in New York, and then you can have me back for game five.
I'll be honest with you. I had a bad vibe when I saw Walker's first inning. I'm like, well, this doesn't feel good. I did the three multi-view game stuff last night. I watched Celtics, Bucks, and then I had Monday Night Football, and then on the bottom I had the World Series. I don't think it's going to be a standalone for me, and it's such a bummer, man. Nobody wants to see a World Series sweep.
It's the same thing in any sport. You get to the end, nobody wants a blowout or nobody wants a sweep, but it looks like we're heading that direction.
You bought a World Series. Congratulations.
Congratulations.
It's indeed possible.
Because the Yankees haven't bought 27 of them over their career.
Well, I'm just saying.
We also need to stop with that. Anything pre-1950 doesn't count.
Oh, Babe Ruth did.
Can we just be honest?
Babe Ruth did.
Well, the Dodgers won their first one in 1955.
Yeah, you're good. You're fine.
Haven't won one since 88.
Only one in Brooklyn that they won.
That's right before they left town.
Looking to break that curse, 88.
Should two of the same foot count as 2 feet?
Mm-hmm.
This happened in the NFL game last night. George Pickens had a catch. George Pickens had highlights last night. Did you see him pile drive the pile?
Yeah,
did you see that play?
I did.
He's
liking Russell Wilson as the quarterback.
He's having a great time all of a sudden. He's getting balls down the field, and Russell Wilson and their offense is kind of taking another level. He had 4 catches, 74 yards last night. Should have had a touchdown. He caught a ball. I don't know if I've ever seen this before. And just by the way he was getting pushed and his balance going out of bounds, he was able to get his right foot in twice.
Mm-hmm.
But not touch his left foot. So his right foot was down on the ground, went up in the air, came back down on the ground, then he went out of bounds. And I think two of the same foot should count as 2 feet.
I was under the assumption it did. It's two toe taps.
It is. He got 10 toes down, technically.
Yes.
So that's, I'm assuming that is a very specific rule.
It's a very specific rule that I had never seen before until they went through this last night, that tapping the same foot twice does not, but one knee counts as 2 toes.
One knee, one 2 feet.
One cheek.
Okay. One elbow.
One elbow.
Yeah. So explain that to me.
Why that all counts.
Why does one foot tapping twice not count, but one elbow on every, Lenore had this since Sunday Night Football.
He did, yes.
If the elbow is seen down with clear possession, doesn't matter if his shoulder lands out of bounds, his butt lands out of bounds. If the elbow hits down with possession, interception, pick, catch.
Not two elbows, not twice in the same elbow, one elbow.
If you get a hip on the ground, but not a knee, a toe, a shoulder, catch. So why does it matter what foot or how many different feet? If you get it down twice, why does that not count? That doesn't make any sense to me.
Made no sense. I was confused. It's like, if you say you need, like one listener said, the rule, as far as I know, I could be wrong, it just says you need to have 2 feet down.
That's what I thought.
It does not say that it has to be a left foot and a right foot, just 2 feet down. He got 2 feet down, it just was the same foot.
I've learned two rules this year in football that I realized I didn't know. The foot rule and the 12, or the pass interference clock running thing from Oregon, Ohio State. I had no idea that those were things.
Yeah, that's a good one. I forgot about that one, too.
I had no idea that those were things.
Brian Daboll did the 12-man thing last night, too. That happened in the game last night. I don't know if you noticed that. They had like a 2nd and 2 at some point. They were trying to stop the clock. He had 2 timeouts left. I think it was at the end of the half, if I'm not mistaken. And he put 12 men on the field to automatically give them a first down so he would not have to call a timeout. They ended up getting a stop and getting the ball back.
Look, I'm going to have to pay Schultze $50. Pittsburgh's going to win 9 games or more this year. I've accepted my fate. I was wrong. I'm sorry. I'll never be wrong again.
6-2. They are 3 wins away from above 500.
I want to ask a general Steeler question, but real quick, I do also want to note, if they don't win a playoff game again, which he still hasn't won a playoff game since 2016, this is the Steelers we're talking about, so that should matter. 4th and 2, 2-minute warning, you get a first down, the game's over. He punted.
I know.
On the plus side of the field.
That's his big problem.
I think that had more to do with him playing the Giants.
No, I get it. And the defense won. He was right. I'm talking about something that he is right on. Yeah. You don't do that in a playoff game.
Well, he did a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And that's the problem.
Against the Browns.
Against the Browns.
I remember that. I'll never forget it. And so, like, I just watched this, and I'm like, God, I would hate this as a Steeler fan. We won the game. I'm happy. It's Russ has worked so far. Damn it. Now, that being said, where do the Steelers come into the equation for you guys in the AFC? Do they look like more than a wild card team to you?
No, I don't think so.
TJ Watt has been the decoy.
He's unbelievable. He has been for a long time. Yeah. They're on a 3-game winning streak. You know those 3 wins are against?
Yeah, but the AFC, does it strike you as particularly
strong?
They're
behind the Ravens, the Chiefs, and the Bills.
And not even close.
If you want to start,
why should they be behind the Ravens? Because the Ravens have lost to the Raiders at home, and they just lost to the Browns.
They have. I've seen the Ravens win a playoff game in the last decade.
I've also
and they have an MVP at quarterback.
Yeah, I get. I'm a big Lamar guy.
Like, if they're playing in the playoffs, I'm not picking Pittsburgh to win that game.
What if it's in Pittsburgh?
No.
I've seen the Steelers beat the Ravens before.
They play in 2 weeks in Pittsburgh. I'm not saying they can't beat them, but in terms of being a legitimate contender, I'm not. The Russell Wilson thing, like, good for him, dude. He found
some darts yesterday.
He had a great game yesterday, and he was good in the second half against the Jets after a really rough start.
I'm just saying they're first in the division. They wouldn't get the 1 seed, but right now in the 3 seed, it'd be a 3-6 Baltimore comes to Pittsburgh game.
Yeah, man, I'd pick Baltimore to win that game.
You would?
I would pick Baltimore to win that game.
So you don't think Pittsburgh can win a playoff game this year?
I'm not saying they can't win a playoff game. I don't know what the matchup will be at the end of the year, and there is some riffraff at the bottom of the AFC. You tell me they get him at home or they find a way to win the division, and that is your first round matchup, and it's not Baltimore. I'm not picking you to beat Baltimore, but you tell me, like, who else is a contender?
It'd be Denver. If they were the 4th seed.
You get Denver at home in a play. Like, yeah, dude, you can win that playoff game.
Okay.
I wouldn't scoff at that notion, but against Buffalo, Baltimore, or Kansas City, who are the true front runners in the AFC in my mind, no, I'm not picking them to win that.
But Denver L.A.
Yeah, any of the other teams I could see him beating.
Maybe the Colts.
I mean, they beat the Chargers already this year a couple weeks ago. Herbert didn't play in the second half, but they won that game in Pittsburgh. Their next 2 weeks, game. They go to Washington, they get Baltimore at home. So let's see. If Russ keeps doing this, maybe I'm singing a different tune in like a month. But there's an aspect of doing that against the Jets and the Giants, who are just dumpster fires right now. And the Raiders are terrible. Those are their last three wins.
Yeah, I find certain teams, like you mentioned, if they do it against Washington. So we do trust Washington as a real.
I don't know about real, but I think they're better than those three teams. I don't have any doubt in my mind.
That division's so bad.
Better than the Giants, the Jets, and the Raiders. That's for damn sure. And they got a quarterback who can make some plays.
Yeah, they do.
A big win for Pittsburgh, though, last night. They inched towards another season over 500. Russell Wilson looked good, and I am maintaining two of the same foot should count as 2 feet. That's the take of the day.
Is he fixed?
Is Russell Wilson fixed? Who fixed?
He made passes yesterday that I haven't seen him make in a couple years, to be fair.
I'm not saying fixed yet. I'm not going there yet.
All right.
Not quite there. A little premature on that. I'm not quite there yet.
He's back into the Hall of Fame.
Yes, Hall of Fame quarterback. Seattle wants him back. Let's get to the mail sack. Get your questions in 503-864-6326. Vancouver Ford text line. We'll answer them next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Look, some disagreeing with the take. I would argue getting two of the same foot down is more impressive than getting both your feet down. That's much harder than getting 2 feet down. You got to be toe-tapped twice.
Yeah, that means you hit toes, foot way went up, difficult. And you were able to athletically get it down in time. I also
way
think
more
it should
difficult.
Count.
Way more difficult. Yeah. Let's sack it up, boys. You ready to sack it up?
How much worse would college football be if they went the NFL route with two toes?
Oh.
Do you think any fall-off would happen with receivers in college?
I don't think so. I think a lot of guys, it would... I think we should, to be honest with you. I've never quite understood why...
You've enjoyed two more than one? Or do you enjoy one more than two?
I enjoy two more than one.
Yeah.
And I'm actually impressed when guys in college do the two-foot thing, knowing that they don't need to.
Well, but I think they have to train for it now.
You got
to
get ready, exactly. Yeah. It's like not having the same three-point line in college in the NBA.
It's very odd when that happens.
Why are we not doing that?
Well, by the way, Swag, Monday, 8 o'clock, Baylor-Gonzaga basketball.
Monday night?
Oh, yeah.
Is that the opening of the college hoop season, Monday?
Monday night, first Ducks game
right here. Who do we got? Huh? What powerhouse are we playing?
UC Riverside get it rolling for the Ducks.
We are going to Duke for the ticker on Monday. I'm just telling you that right now.
Cooper flag time.
Capture the flag, baby.
They beat Arizona State by 846 points in a scrimmage. So they're looking
good.
Looking pretty good.
He looked good.
Here we go. Millsack question. As we're about to enter the holiday season, what does this collection of morning show dads want for Christmas?
Oh, it's a great question. This is
what's on your list?
This is going to be the whitest, hippiest answer I could possibly give you.
You do look like a white hippie today.
I yesterday stumbled across something in my algorithm, which should maybe speak to my algorithm. A homemade nut milk machine. You put any nuts in a machine and you get that milk.
Canada loves me when I come.
Homemade almond milk, cashew milk. Why buy it anymore? We can home make it, ladies and gentlemen. Almond cow. Get me an almond cow machine. I'd be happy as a clam. Living in the suburbs. Beat that.
I can't. I don't even know. I don't even want to give my
I sent it to my wife and said, in case you need ideas.
Here's what I need. I really know how to respond to that. I want to be honest with you.
I don't drink real milk.
You want to make your own milk? Huh?
Yeah, I want cashew milk. I can make homemade almond chocolate.
Why don't you like real milk? Are you lactose intolerant? Is it a health thing? Is it a gut thing? You get the bubble guts with real milk? Not a 2% guy?
I kind of get a little creeped out drinking real milk. The idea that this is like from the udders of an animal for a baby and I'm an adult doing it, I don't know.
You're Ron Burgundy?
Yeah, Ron Burgundy.
Milk was a bad choice.
I prefer to kill little rodents for my milk. Give me more almond milk, please.
All right. Use a lot of water for that almond milk. You want that?
If you use less, I've read about it, use less water, it makes more for more creamy consistency with the nuts.
I don't really know where to go because I don't, one, know how to respond to that, and two, I don't know what I need. I don't need anything. I'm terrible at this. My wife, I drive my wife nuts, and I...
You can't think of a single... How about a sporting event? How about going to a game next year? How about a weekend? My wife and I might be going to either Chicago or Austin next week, just the two of... two of us.
Yeah, usually vacations are pretty good.
Have you had any getaway, fly on a plane, go somewhere... post-Teddy ball game yet?
No, we haven't gone anywhere without Teddy ball game.
So maybe a nice romantic weekend getaway. You fly out on a Friday after the show.
Is there a golf course there?
I mean, it clearly is an important thing for you. So maybe you take the clubs and you fly out on a Friday.
After going to La Quinta, Palm Desert, Palm Springs, like for a weekend getaway.
There you go.
Okay. All right.
We know a guy.
I'll hit up McCabe. I'll see what he's up to.
Well, you didn't need to name him.
Come on. Hook me up, buddy. Okay. What are we doing?
All right. Good answers. Swag has given us nothing.
You got anything you wanted for Christmas?
I actually,
you making your own milk over there too?
No, I'm not making my own milk.
Milk me, mommy.
My kitchen knife situation has gotten old and dull.
I know a guy for this.
Kitchen knives?
I could use some fresh
Cutco
chef knives.
Yeah,
little carving knife, little boning knife.
Right. I bet you could use a boning knife. 52 years old.
Mail sack question. Do any of you have a default order when you are trying a new restaurant? For example, if it's a pub and I have never been, I always default to order a fresh dip or French dip or fish tacos. Do you have a default order at a restaurant?
Yeah.
Not off the menu.
If I go to a breakfast house, almost always.
First time you've been there, check it out.
If it's called a Flapjack Phil's, we obviously know what they're known for. If I go to a breakfast house, run-of-the-mill cafe, run-of-the-mill restaurant, I'm going omelet. I love an omelet.
Easy. Throw some meat in there, some veggies in there, lots of cheese.
How many eggs do you use? What's the thickness of the egg omelet? Is it a thicker omelet, a thinner omelet? You know, what are your hash brown situations? I've had bad hash browns. They're not
thick six.
A thick six, a thick omelet. I'm going omelet at a breakfast house.
I don't really have a go-to staple. I'm okay trying different things. I like taking random shots at the board and seeing what I end up liking. I don't have a lot of things where I'm like, I have to get this or I want to get this. Just kind of take a blind dart.
The place that I'm at, I might ask the server if, you know, there's any specialties or that sort of thing as far as food. But as far as a cocktail, if I'm not certain, if I'm looking back there, I'll have you make a Manhattan first. If you can make a Manhattan,
you can go anywhere from
balanced,
there.
I can taste the bourbon, but it's not overly harsh. There's vermouth and those sorts of things. Then I'll trust maybe one of your more specialty cocktails at that point.
What is your bar go-to food item, though? I think that's a good point of when you go to a pub.
Just like a pub.
What's the thing you order the most? Is it wings? Do you go burger?
Wings are probably number one. Like, if I'm just, like, I'm at a pub, like, hey, let's go hang out, watch a game or something, get a beer. Like, you're getting wings. I'll get wings every time.
Chips and dip,
wings
usually
or nachos.
Disappointed.
Nachos
with.
Are pretty good, too.
Nachos is a good one, yeah.
Yeah. Mail sack question, where is the most embarrassing place you've ever had to drop a deuce? And Swag has to answer this too.
A deuce?
Well, most embarrassing place you've ever taken a dump.
Oh, a deuce? I don't. There's nowhere where you're like, I'm stuck.
College girl's apartment. It was a 6-person party. I could not hold it.
That's pretty good. That's good. That's solid.
I mean, we all know about, I have old man bladder.
Did you just walk out afterwards, or did you just try and hang out?
Well, thankfully, she had some spray.
Okay. Clean out the situation a little bit.
And it wasn't a situation you wanted to do that at.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's pretty solid. The most embarrassing dump situation I've ever had, I've told this story many years ago, but I was traveling as a young kid, I plugged a toilet on an airplane. And I was we were going to Europe. Like, it was a long flight, like early on in the flight, like 8 hour. This could be a long time here. And I, like, 1 hour in, I don't know how I clogged it. I didn't know they were possible to clog. I thought there was technology up there on the suction and you're high up in the air. I figured this is going to be okay.
Especially for your age.
Especially for as a young, you know, little third grader. And somehow, some way, I plugged that thing and it should have given me a glimpse into my future. But they had to throw an out of order sign on the bathroom. And then there was like 7 hours of the flight left and we were down one bathroom. And that was pretty bad. And everybody on the plane knew that I did.
I would add to this too, it's not embarrassing, but like the Hood to Coast experience comes to mind here. They do a great job setting up porta potties all along that race, right? And it's not that everybody isn't doing it. You go in there and you clearly see that everybody is. It's the walk out with the hand sanitizer rubbing, knowing that it's going to be awful for the next person. And you kind of make that split second eye contact of like, man, I'm sorry. That's not who I am.
It's my bad.
That's just me right now.
Running a 6 mile leg.
And then they have to go in and do the same thing. So it's just like a continued on passing of the baton.
Yeah. I don't have a specific deuce experience where I was like.
You've never taken an embarrassing dump? A spot where you're like, ooh, I'm in a bad spot right now, but I got to go.
Yeah, old man bladder. We know about old man bladder and the LA freeways. I mean, that's. I don't have anything like that where.
Where you're taking a dump in a bad spot.
I've had to go off a hiking trail before.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're in nature. I mean,
I've taken one on the side of a golf course, like when you're in the middle of a course.
I've never had a thing like that. I've always managed to be able to at least get to a porta potty or somewhere where you can.
It's not super embarrassing when you're with buddies, at least, though. You're kind of like, hey, just keep an eye out.
I'm taking a towel.
Like, you just
keep an eye out.
Keep an eye out for me. Let me know if anybody's coming.
Towel, huh? I go leaves.
You go leaves? You a leave guy? Leave wipe guy? Two-part World Series mail sack question. I have a friend who said the Dodgers are rivals of the Padres. Am I wrong to think that the Dodgers fans don't consider the Padres their rival and it's the Giants? Also, is there any worse fan base in baseball than the Dodgers? For example, yelling and chanting during the moment of silence for Fernando. Did you guys yell and chant during the moment of silence?
Well, the moment of silence was quite lengthy. And at the end, it was like silent for about a good 20 to 30 seconds. And then there was that awkward part where, and they just started chanting Fernando's name.
I got to be honest, if you're giving me a moment of silence, start chanting. What do I want silence for?
Well, and they did. They also said to look to the heavens. I thought, I didn't have a problem with it. It had been silent for a little while. It was normally it's like when they have me do those things at the Hops games. If, you know, they're remembering somebody or something, it's like 10 to 15 seconds and then come back on, thank you. Now the next thing. And so it was a good 25, 30 seconds and it was spontaneous. It was natural. It was out of celebration and love for Fernando. I didn't have a problem with it.
Okay. Are the Padres or Giants your bigger rival?
Right now, the
Padres. The Giants are a bigger rival. The Padres right now in the moment.
Yeah.
Because Padre fans are just as obnoxious.
Have the kids of those Padre dads disowned them yet?
They sang the song a couple of years ago.
I rewatched that this year.
So bad.
It's one of the worst pieces of content ever created in the world.
And they lost, too. And they, you know. Went on to lose the series.
And like the dads that participated in the background. What are we doing?
Not good, Bob. Not good.
What are we doing?
Mail sack question. If animal laws weren't a thing, what pet would you most like to have in your house?
Oh, killer whale.
A koala bear.
I think if I had, like, if you give me a decent sized backyard, I'm going giraffe.
Is it trained?
Giraffe seems cool. They seem cool.
Is it trained?
Yeah, I mean, you can train it. I think so.
A monitor lizard is not allowing anything to trespass.
No. Just standing right there. No. You shall not pass.
I'd go killer whale.
Last one from P1 Jamie, our female Colts fan. I'm starting early morning, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Any advice for dragging my butt out of bed? Go to bed early.
Get actual sleep.
Yes.
Don't be afraid of taking power naps if you're able.
Yeah.
I took a 9-minute nap yesterday. My wife doesn't understand why I do these things. They work. Also, there is no shame in admitting you have a caffeine addiction. I drink probably 400 milligrams or more of caffeine a day.
Takes a lot of caffeine. I will say, too, there is no better feeling than, it's funny how old you feel saying this. When I'm in bed at like a good time, like ready to go to sleep, not a better feeling on planet Earth for me.
I stayed up for that Blazer game even though I knew it was over, and that was maybe a problem because about 8:50 I was like, I need to crash hard.
I need to go to bed,
And I wasn't in bed till 9:27.
They were down by 20. I
Yeah, I know.
I'm out.
No, but you didn't see Scoot.
I missed the final 8 minutes of the game. How am I going to talk about it? There you go. There's your mail sack. Yeah, go to sleep and drink a lot of coffee. That's basically all you can
do. And by the way, this is the underrated point. One of our listeners on Twitter, it's more disgusting sitting on the warm toilet seat that you've shared with the community than it is smelling it. Like, we all know it smells bad.
My biggest problem with porta potties that I've noticed is I don't feel like and I poop in porta potties quite often because usually I get down to Duck games and it's a 2-hour drive and I drink a lot of coffee on the way. I don't feel like going to find a bathroom and nobody's pooped in the porta potties yet.
Yeah,
like the first one, so it's like not that big of a deal
great
for
feeling
me.
Being the first.
It's a great feeling.
Yeah.
The hole's not big enough. I feel like the hole doesn't give me I feel like I got bits and pieces that are touching and I need more room. I need more room to move. And I even use the handicap one too, so I can kind of spread my legs out a little bit, make it my home. I need more space there.
That's a hell of a drop. What? Isn't it a standard size hole?
I don't think so. I don't think it's a standard size hole.
How wide are you?
I mean, I'm a wide guy, man.
Do you feel like it's not a standard size?
When was the last time you pooped in a porta potty? Hood to coast?
Yeah.
Did your twig and berries touch the front tip or any surface?
I sit back.
I try to, too, but then I'm worried, am I going to get something in my backsplash in the back of the porta potty here? I want to make sure it's all going in the hole. I don't want to do that for the next person.
I have a question about things and where they're located for you. Yeah, you bring up more questions than you are actually making a point.
Trying to feel our way through this one, man. Trying to feel our way through this one.
I don't want
to feel our way through this one. Hey, should we be concerned? Another nice night.
I'm going to look this up.
How about this guy? Let's get to that next. Yeah, I got a tweet at Dirt and Sprague on Twitter. You can go follow us there. We'll follow you back. If you ever had the porta potty sploosh and get the blue dye on you, it doesn't come off very easy. I had a buddy do that going into a Duck game. He puked in a porta potty, got a little splash back on his face, and he had a couple of blue marks. And we asked him when he came out, did you puke? And he tried to say no.
could see the dye.
Like, did you have blue dye on your face? You clearly vomited inside that porta potty.
Okay, so that's disgusting. So thanks for sharing at breakfast time.
You're welcome.
The second thing I have is,
you're welcome.
How do you get the splash? I feel like it's 3 feet down.
Well, some of us drop big loads, man.
I posted a poll question at Dirt and Sprague. Do porta potty toilets feel smaller than your usual toilet? Yes or no?
Yeah, what's the early returns?
I mean, it's too early to really give you an answer.
Too early,
early
of a call?
Just literally posted it. I have one vote.
One vote in?
Yes. Right.
Don't look now, Bob. Don't look now. But my guy, Scoot Henderson, had another nice night last night.
Oh, he's your guy now.
He's my guy.
That works.
I've always been Scoot's guy. He did play well. Now, they lost, which is exactly what you want. They're 1-3. They did not cover the spread, so that was a bummer if you gambled on him. But he had 18 points off the bench. I thought looked really good in spurts. He still has a couple of moments in every game where you just question, what were you seeing there? What was going on there?
Yeah.
But in terms of just kind of stringing together a couple of nice nights and showing his ability to not only get to the hoop and finish, but also get to the free throw line, which he did pretty efficiently last night. Dude, what are we, 4 games into the year? I'd say 3 or 4. Scoot's been pretty solid, and that's 3 in a row that he's starting to stack up now.
So it's a weird conversation to have, I think, on Scoot. One, I wouldn't disagree with anything you said. His shooting efficiency is awful.
No, you're not good.
So, I don't know if we should just chuck that up and say never going to be a shooter or he'll continue to figure this out shooting percentage-wise. The second thing is, I believe, I saw this stat correctly, that he would be leading the league in assists had certain shots been made by his teammates.
One of those where you see a lot of guys getting open looks, but they just
assists,
can't make
the assists where he's getting guys the looks, they're missing the shots. Had they hit these shots, even 2 to 3 more shots, he'd be amongst the league leader in assists. What I like from what I'm seeing, one, he still occasionally has dumb fouls, but two, he is feisty on defense. He's allowing his arm length, which is pretty massive. He's got bigger hands, too. He's allowing those to be more of a factor with how he's playing the ball. I like that when he's dribbling, he had a nasty little crossover between his legs that he took it to the cup, and he missed the shot, but Barry followed it up and got fouled.
Yeah.
Just seeing him put that move down was like, oh, there it is. And so, I'm watching a dude kind of look confident in picking his spots and how he wants to move around the court. I think without a doubt what I've seen between him, he is much more of a real true point guard to the sense than Anfernee Simons. So he needs to be handling the ball more. Ant needs to play the two until we trade him. But I also am looking at the other side of this. I will acknowledge he's playing better. He looks confident. It's something I wanted to see from him, and I've seen it. He also has a lot of Westbrook where he just does or goes through moments where I'm like, what are you doing? What did you do there?
Yeah.
And this is part of being a young player, learning as you go.
Yeah, game high 4 turnovers, I think, yesterday.
I'm also a little concerned that maybe this is who he is. He has these moments where we go, hell yeah, there he is. Yeah. And then also, what are you doing? What happened? Your brain stop working for like 4 minutes?
Yeah. There's too many times when the defensive team gets back and gets set in the half court. It takes him seemingly till 8-9 seconds left on the shot clock to actually diagnose and start some sort of offense.
Yeah, that's fair.
Out in transition, if he's able to look up, see if he's got an angle or he's out in front and can get to the rim or create, I think his vision is good there. But generating and starting the offense in the half court takes him too long right now. I don't know if that's part of his, but there's just too much time. I see him just dribbling. Give it up, do some action, get it back, and then if there's 6 on the shot clock, then get a high screen and go.
Yeah, that's totally fair. I would say, too, on your original point, Sprague, on the shooting numbers for him, I think I'm just kind of there. I don't ever see him becoming an efficient three-point shooter.
I've given up, I think, on the shooting.
Like, his overall field goal percentage is up from last year. He was 38%. He's 40 now, 4 games in. He's 41% early in the year. I don't ever see him. He knocked down one last night. It might have been the first one he made all year, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe
no, he had a 3 against the Pelicans.
Okay, did have one against the Pelicans, too.
A couple, yeah.
So he is, let's see, he's 3 for 14 on the year from 3, shooting 21%. Like, he's not going to be 21% all year. He was 32% last year. I've given up on that. The way that I view him is not as a generational talent. It is as, can you be an old school point guard?
Can you be a functional operating point guard who runs an offense and gets your guys' good looks?
Who's an elite athlete, can become a better defender because of his length and his strength and all of that. He's incredibly fast, twitchy. Like, he can get to the hoop, he can get to spots.
I'm splitting hairs with you here.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's an elite athlete in the NBA.
Okay.
He's certainly an elite athlete to us and everybody else in the world. But when I watch him play, I don't know if I say he's an elite athlete compared to most of those dudes.
That's fair.
What I do like a lot about him, he's getting to the paint, and he's always looking for the lob. He's always looking to get the ball and get guys' looks.
Magic Johnson.
And look, that's a great thing. I think it's okay to be honest about all of this, that he's had a lot of good moments this year. That first game was a disaster in every bit of the way for the franchise. Since then, his numbers may not be popping statistically, but again, I note, I think he's got the league lead or the second in the league of the most assists that have not been finished by his teammate. But he's looking like somebody that can operate. He's always looking to create for guys, and I like that aspect of him. I also think we know he's not a shooter.
Yeah.
I don't think he's an elite athlete compared to a lot of guys, but he did bully De'Aaron Fox a little bit yesterday with his size, and I liked seeing that.
And De'Aaron Fox has been the comp for him for pro Blazer fans. A lot of, hey, look what he did early in his career and look at the player that he turned into. So it was interesting to see them go head-to-head. Two other quick notes on the game last night. Our minute counter on Donovan Klingon was 12 last night. 12.
So I talked with Danny about this.
Yeah, what's Danny saying? Why is he only playing 12 minutes a night?
He told me that the team, the coaching staff, when he talks to people about this, they're basically saying he's playing his way into playing more minutes. He's exhausted when he's coming off of his shift.
Okay. See, was he out of shape? Was he?
Again, go back to college. He played 20 minutes a game at UConn.
Yeah, 20 minutes is not too much to ask.
But college is not the NBA in terms of intensity. And that's, I think, fair, what we've seen from him. Look, it's 4 games. So if we're at this same place at 30, 35 games into the season.
I only have so many things I'm looking forward to with watching Blazer games. And when he's on the floor, my pants get tight. And I'm like, yes, this is exciting. And then it's like a 4-minute shift and he's back on the bench. And I don't really care to watch DeAndre Ayton, although he was good last night.
I'm ready to be done with him. I feel like he knows what the situation is and he's kind of embraced just it not really mattering.
Yeah.
That being said, I'm with you. I want to see him get more minutes. It was 12. It was 14. It's 13. Hopefully he plays himself into shape. Denny Abdia is shooting like 6% from 3.
That was the other takeaway from the game last night. He had another rough shooting night. His season percentage from 3 on the year is 6.7%.
I'm actually looking at their splits. It was funny watching this. They were actually hanging with the Kings until the Kings ended up pulling away.
They were. It was kind of early third quarter, if I'm not mistaken, right? It was back and forth most of the first
half. It's like a 5-6 point game there. Yeah.
Well, what's funny about that is Jeremy and Ant combined to go 7 of 24.
They were terrible. Look, I know that this is going to be beating a dead horse.
Jeremy's been good this year. That was his first.
That's fine. I don't care. I am so ready to move on from those guys. Like, watching these glimpses of Scoot, seeing Kling, and I know you want to bring the minutes along, and you're not going to play him 40 minutes a night. I get it. I understand that. I just, like, these are the things in a rebuild as a fan that if you want me to get excited about, like, yeah, those little moments from Scoot, that I want them to lose, and I want those little moments throughout the course of a game. That's the dream world. Last night was a perfect game for me. Hmm. Scoot had flashes. I thought he played pretty well. Klingon only got 12 minutes, but I thought he was efficient in his 12 minutes, and they lost the game by double digits. There was never really a threat that they were going to win it until Sacramento pulled away in the third quarter. I'm just so ready to move on from the Ant Jeremy stuff. I just am ready to start a new era.
Would you throw DA in there too?
Yes, I would throw all three of those in there. And just when those trades go down at some point, hopefully this year, and Scoot's our starting point guard and Shaden's starting at the two, Klingon's playing 25 minutes a night.
Kamar at the three.
Yes, I know you're going to lose every game by 20. That's fine. I'm okay with it. You're supposed to lose every game this year. Give me the future. That's what I want. Those guys aren't a part of it. And Ant going, what was he, 4 of 15 last night?
4 of 12. God, he was bad. 1 of 7 from three.
Jesus, he was bad.
He was a minus 23. I think that's it. Yeah, he's a team worst minus 23.
Solid night. Last note, how about my boy Peyton Pritchard last night? Huh?
Single-handedly kept them in the game against the Bucks before they ended up taking control.
I think he murdered Doc Rivers last night. You see the reaction when he hit one of those deep threes? Was that late in the third quarter? And Doc Rivers was like hands on the knees, like, are you kidding me? How is this guy getting away with this?
Doc Rivers out here campaigning for Kamala Harris. Why don't you coach how to defend Peyton Pritchard?
Yeah, why don't you go better than 1-3 to start your year, buddy? All right? They fired the last guy. He was like 30-13. What are we doing?
Defending democracy. Why don't you defend Peyton Pritchard?
All right, let's wrap it up. We got some poll questions to answer. Is the World Series over? We'll close it up next on The Fam. A couple of Scoot thoughts rolling in. Would you be happy if Scoot became Russell Westbrook, who can't shoot either? Yeah. Is he going to win MVPs? Yeah, I would take the Westbrook slander. Look, I get it, and there's takes out there because I guess Denver's off to a bad start. I haven't watched a second of Denver basketball.
It would wear on you. I know you. It would wear on you.
Of course it would eventually. It would wear on you. But like the way we slander him when he was at his peak...
Well, what I've always appreciated about Russell Westbrook, I understand the negative of it.
He plays his ass off every night.
He plays his ass off, and he cares about every single game. Now, he certainly has his moments, a lot of them, where he has cost his team with decision-making stuff. I think on the...
When's the last time we had an MVP, man?
Walton.
One time.
Once.
No, I don't want that on my team.
I didn't say Westbrook in the sense of, like, I think his ceiling is Russell Westbrook. I actually think that might be a little offensive to Russell Westbrook. He won a league MVP.
Yes.
What I mean is, I wouldn't be shocked if he eventually figures this out, if two things happen. We know he can't shoot, and he just goes through a spurt or two through a game where you kind of go, what did you just do for three straight possessions?
Yeah.
I think, and look, he's 19, 20 years old. He's learning. Maybe he'll get out of that. What I have seen, and it's been, I'm trying to be as honest on all of this. He's played better than I thought. He has shown me some stuff that I like. He also has 3 or 4 possessions a game where he completely forgets that people can come up from behind him and rip him, or he makes a dumb pass, or... he just does something a little wacky. That I'm not saying he's going to be Russ. I'm not saying he's destined to be that. I'm just trying to make comps and comparisons with what I've seen from other players. And so that comes to the top of my mind.
Here's what I would say on the Westbrook comp. Now, he's probably not doing it this year.
He's also nowhere near as elite an athlete as Russell Westbrook
No, he is one of the greatest athletes we've ever seen play in the NBA. Like, I'm gonna try and pull up his numbers. So the one thing I'll say about Scoot, he cannot shoot from three, and I don't think he'll ever be able to shoot from three.
I'm stunned anybody guards him above the or at the 3-point.
No, there's no point to, and he's never gonna be above 35. Like, that's okay. I'm all right with. I've accepted that fact in my head.
The problem there is eventually all NBA teams. If you try to set a middle of high screen and roll, everybody's going under.
Yeah, that's totally fine. And there's gonna be limitations to that. Not everybody's perfect, right? Like, every player is gonna have a week. My thing, at least with him, is in the first game, this was my criticism. I know that you can't shoot. You know how many threes he took on opening night?
Was it 3?
5.
Okay.
He was 0 of 5.
Yeah.
That's inexcusable.
Him taking, not enough?
No, that's too many. Anything more than 3, like, that's at least been the one thing the last couple of nights. Last night, you know how many he took?
You don't want him shooting five or more in game one of the season to see where he's at?
From three? No, I don't.
I mean,
I don't. Okay. That's fine. I mean, we can disagree on that. He took two last night. He knocked down one. He was open and hit him on a little. He was kind of driving.
Shot
kick.
It confidently.
Shot it confidently. Yeah. Knocked it down. He took one other three for the night. That way, he attempted 12 shots on the night. Two of them were threes. Mm. You're gonna have to take one or two. Teams are not gonna guard you out there. I have no problem. I'm not saying never shoot a 3-pointer. Mm. Anything north of five when you're like a 27% three, like stop it. I know that's not going to go in. The chance of this going in. That's been the problem with Westbrook at times throughout his career is that he still will take like six, seven, eight, or nine threes. And you're like, dude, you can't shoot. Stop shooting three-pointers. But that to me is where I'll disagree with some of it.
How about that fun stat from Brooke during the game? They have seven games in a row in seven different cities.
Interesting little stat.
That's crazy.
Nice little number right
seven
there.
Seven straight games in seven different cities is wild.
Is the World Series over tonight?
Yeah.
I don't know that it's over tonight, but it does not come
misery.
Back. It does not come back to L.A.
I want it to be over. I'm ready for the same.
If it goes back to L.A., you're going to be panicked, aren't you?
If it goes back to L.A., yeah, I will be.
Because, you know, God forbid
gonna,
they win
it. They're going to give up two runs in the bottom of the first tonight, Swag. Oh, God, here we go.
No, because, again,
porn one early.
Oh, no.
It's a bullpen game, and I don't know how he's going to deal with it. But of the 24 times previously, there's been a 3-0 lead in the World Series. It's never gotten to Game 6, and only four times has it gotten to Game 5.
One of our P1s tweeted us, said, Swag's hilarious. I can hear the conversation already. We say, hey, Swag, congrats. Your Dodgers won the World Series. And Swag responds, yeah, I mean, it's cool, but we don't do something to address that bullpen in the offseason. There's no chance we're going to repeat next year. Couple of poll questions. Do you buy clothes at Costco? 64% of you say yes. You have good taste.
How about that?
Who do we blame for the Yankees losing Game 3 last night? 58% of you say Fat Joe.
Ozempic Fat Joe.
Yeah. And do porta-potty toilets feel smaller than your usual toilet? 68% of you say yes.
I got a couple texts on that. People absolutely screaming yes, but they're bigger people than normal.
We're large. We're large and in charge, and we don't want our stuff touching other stuff. You know, don't let your stuff touch stuff, all right?
Oh, we got a loaded show tomorrow, though.
Loaded show tomorrow. Matt Miller at 7. Josh Pate at 7:40.
Let's go.
Boom goes the dynamite. If you miss any of the show, go check the podcast, 1080thefan.com, at Turton Sprague and at 1080thefan. Thanks, everybody, for watching on YouTube. Like the video. Subscribe to the channel if you haven't done so yet. Thanks for being a part of our Tuesday. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Calling us next for listening to 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.